Hello and welcome to the latest in Arch Insurance International's Pursuing Better Together podcast series. Today, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk with Mark Lomas. Mark is Head of Culture at Lloyd's, having joined the corporation in January 2022, and in this role is responsible for all aspects of its strategies relating to culture, engagement, well-being and equality, and diversity and inclusion. During his career, Mark has delivered numerous highly successful diversity and inclusion projects across the UK and internationally for organisations across many different sectors. He has previously held senior equality and diversity positions at BBC, the Law Society of England and Wales, and prior to joining Lloyd's, at HS2, the UK's Transport Levelling Up project. He is also a published author on the topic of equality and diversity, having authored the Law Society Equality and Diversity Risk and Compliance Toolkit, which assists law firms to comply with regulation. Well, Mark, first of all, thank you very much for making the time to join us today.
Oh, thank you. It's a real pleasure.
I wanted to start by trying to get, I suppose, a better understanding of the overall scope of that role of Head of Culture at Lloyd's. Could you just give us a sense of what effectively falls under your remit?
I suppose the easiest way is to divide it kind of between the internal and the external focus. So internally, I'm responsible for employee engagement, well-being, diversity and inclusion, and also leadership capability sits in my strategy arena, although managed by another team. And then externally, I'm responsible for ensuring compliance with the Lloyd's oversight framework, Principle 13, which is culture. So essentially, regulation of the market around non-financial conduct, diversity, inclusion, etc.
And as you said, that's a fairly diverse role, isn't it?
I mean, it can be challenging. You're dealing with a myriad of stakeholders in the London market, all Lloyd's market, all who have, you know, their views. But I think the benefit of it is, when I was head of diversity, I had a lot of different organizations, had a lot of negotiation to do with the people that ran employee engagement or well-being or organizational values or leadership capability. I don't have to do that negotiation anymore. That all kind of, they're all levers that I have to pull. It makes the job a little bit easier to do because you have all those balancing factors.
And of course, as I mentioned there in the introduction, you've held several equality and diversity related roles across many different sectors. How then did you find it moving into that unique market environment that is Lloyd's?
Yeah, fascinating. Each sector is quite unique, but when you really get under the skin of it, they all kind of have the same problems, right? It's talent. It's how do we make the most of our talent? It's how do we become more efficient, more innovative, etc. So although there are unique aspects, the underlying issues are pretty much always the same. I think moving from HS2, where it's managing the sort of diversity and inclusion performance of a massive supply chain, which was, you know, from huge companies to small companies, was very good preparation for moving to the Lloyd's market. And then obviously a marketplace isn't the same as a
supply
chain.
That's a fair point.
Where you have, you know, contractual requirements that govern what you do. However, Lloyd's has oversight responsibility over managing agents, etc. So I'm used to working in an ecosystem. I think that has helped. Well, one of the ways that culture diversity has progressed in the Lloyd's market is kind of been responses to issues that have come up. And therefore, you know, you could say it's had a kind of a 1+1+1 approach. Oh, you know, Bloomberg came up, we'll deal with gender. Black Lives Matter came up. Okay, now we'll deal with race, etc. And I think what we tried to do since 2022 is ensure that our culture strategy is broad. It addresses kind of all the diverse groups, but really has an eye on the prize for insurance, which is more innovative products and ensuring that we have the talent that we need. Because the simple truth is, insurance is bottom of the pile in terms of careers in the financial sector. So insurance has to shed the reputation it has acquired and build a new reputation built on all the things which are superbly special about the Lloyd's market. During my, coming up to 2 years in January, that's gone pretty fast. But in my kind of 18 months at Lloyd's, I've had the opportunity to do quite a lot of outreach with kids and employability stuff, you know, just to test what do people know, what do they think of us. And the reality is that the talent know very little about us. You know, you say, well, what do you know about Lloyd's? Oh, yeah, you're the people with the black horse. Or, you know, oh, you aren't you a pharmacy? No, no, we're not the pharmacy. And then you talk to parents and they know very little about insurance apart from, you know, their experience with car or house insurance. When you can describe in simple terms how Lloyd's facilitates business all around the world, that is of interest to people. When you start talking about the global nature of careers, that you could start in East London and work in East Africa. I'm from Bermuda, you know, it's a center of reinsurance.
Yes.
People really start to get excited. And then when you explain to them that, look, it is less elitist than investment banking. It's got better work-life balance, but you can have a brilliant career and make good money in insurance. Eyes are open. But for too long, the kind of Lloyd's market ecosystem was able to survive via kind of referrals and who knew about it. And we can't really afford that way of operating anymore because talent has so many more choices now. There's so much more information available. So yeah. We have to be far smarter about the story we tell. And more intelligent about how we go and target the talent we need for the future, which will come from all communities.
So this talent challenge is very significant for the Lloyd's market. Do you think that there is therefore a greater onus on Lloyd's to, when it approaches diversity, it approaches it or it should approach it in the widest possible sense?
Yes, it has to because it's just good business sense. But within that, we have to recognize that, you know, for some groups, there are more barriers to entering the market than for others, maybe because they've got less connection with the market. Or, for example, the history of Lloyd's and its ties to transatlantic slavery are something that you have to overcome when communicating with communities. And we launch our kind of research and our response to those issues on the 8th of November. So we do have to recognize we have to take the broadest possible approach. And yet within that, we have to be targeted at where we understand the issues are arising. And an example of that is there was an Insurance Insider article published a few months ago that said, look, there are very few CEOs, CFOs, or chief actuaries that are women in the Lloyd's market. And to an extent, that was true. And we've collected the data on that and on talent pipelines and succession. And we can see for actuarial and finance, 5 years out, the kind of gender pipeline will pretty much fix itself if the figures are
right.
Mm-hmm. Between 40 and 50% of those people are successors to senior roles in actuary and finance are from diverse backgrounds within, and women predominantly.
Just on that subject, of course, you're touching upon a few of the initiatives and a few of the areas of focus that you're helping to drive and sort of conducting research around. What are some of the most successful initiatives? What are the things that are gaining traction in the marketplace at the moment?
Yeah, the most successful initiatives are those that deal with specific issues that arise from the data that we collect. So an example is the Accelerate program that we run, the professional development program for ethnically diverse individuals in the market. Fantastically successful, really good conversion rate into new opportunities, promotions, et cetera. And that's just won an L&D award for being one of the best development programs in the UK. That's a great example of designing a program to deal with a very specific issue. And we have a number of those initiatives. For example, we had an issue with the collection of diversity data across the market. And we built that into the oversight framework and then provided a diversity monitoring toolkit on how you do that. And in the last few years, you know, the number of managing agents collecting ethnicity data, as an example, has gone from 76% to 94%. So nearly complete market coverage. It is about understanding where specific issues are and then putting specific solutions in place. And yes. Upcoming this year, when we collected our market policies and practices return, or MPMP return, which is all the diversity data across the market, one of the things that became obvious was that between 37 and 40% of firms were doing schools or university outreach, and that's it. Well, we've got this fantastic festival called Dive-In, where we engage thousands of people every year. So we're piloting a volunteering and outreach aspect to Dive-In this year called Dive-In to Insurance, where people will be able to sign up for volunteer and outreach events through the Dive-In website, a massive schedule, with the opportunity to for more than 1,000 people to undertake outreach and
volunteer. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's about getting that story of insurance and careers in insurance out there to, you know, a wide spectrum of communities with all kinds of people from different disciplines and different levels across insurance. And that's where I think, you know, the market has an advantage. When we work together on things and leverage our sort of power for the greater good, if you like, we make progress far quicker.
I suppose it fits very nicely with our theme of pursuing better together. You know, how easy is it to inspire that collective action that's needed on the DE&I front, given the nature of the Lloyd's market?
You have to spend a lot of time on stakeholder engagement. The Lloyd's market is an ecosystem, but that ecosystem is large companies, small companies, it's brokers, it's managing agents. So, you do have to take your time to understand what kind of a solution is going to work, and how you can bring those things to life. But and therefore, it can take a while to get consensus is probably the wrong word, but something akin to a consensus. Mm-hmm. But once you have that, then the power of the London market is and the Lloyd's market is pretty powerful. People get behind it, and you can really see things start to move and participation increase. So I'm pretty positive about the ability of the Lloyd's market to fast forward its progress over the next few years, through understanding, you know, where our issues are, where we can take collective action together. And by doing that, then we move the dial for everybody.
In terms of moving that dial, where would you say we're seeing the strongest progress being made at present? And I suppose what areas require greater investment in action?
So we're seeing pretty steady progress around gender, both in the overall workforce, but in leadership. Our last MPMP return showed that the market as a whole was at 32% women in leadership, and we need to get to 35% women in leadership. That was the target for December 2023. Mm-hmm. When we kind of ran the maths, that would require an additional 120 women leaders this year in a market of 48,000 workforce. Mm-hmm. Which is very possible. But the rate of progress has been increasing from 0.5% a year to 1% a year to now 2% a year, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we can see that as the practices across the market start to improve, and you know, the recruitment practices and talent and succession practices are improving, maybe too slowly for my particular liking, but they are improving. We see the rate of progress increase.
Yes, the momentum building.
Momentum is building. I think that minority representation at all levels is increasing. Since I've been here, it's been a bit more than 2% a year. But there are areas which require far more focus. Our data tells us that most organizations aren't really doing much around disability. But organizations are interested in social mobility. And it's interesting, you know, disabled groups are the least socially mobile of any group. So you would hope as firms and companies develop their approach to social mobility, they're taking these issues into account. And then, you know, the market has become far more inclusive of LGBTQ plus populations. And we can see that through our culture survey results. So, things are improving. The market is changing. It's about picking up that pace of change.
How important are reporting requirements, ensuring greater transparency to I suppose maintaining this momentum that we're achieving around DE&I?
It's absolutely key, or else you're, if you don't have data, at best, you're working off observation. At worst, you're working off anecdote or personal experience. And data is hugely important. You know, it allows you to target effort where it's needed most. And when people kind of ask me, well, you know, why do we have to do this? Why is diversity data important? This, that, and the other. I always kind of give them the example of your Tesco, right? When you got your Tesco card and you're using it at the checkout, well, they know who you are. They know your age. They know what products you're buying. Yes. They know when you come into the store. Diversity information not only tells you what's working, but it tells you who it's working for. And if you have it at a granular level, it can help you understand how you change it to be more effective. That is the same for a recruitment or a talent process to a product and sales mentality. That data gives you access to all that information. So that's why, for me, an evidence-led approach is incredibly important. It enables much faster progress.
I wanted more just to return briefly to something you mentioned earlier, and something which is, of course, on the horizon, which is the next Dive-In Festival. From your perspective, how significant, how important is the impact of this event now becoming for the market?
I think Dive-In is the number one diversity and inclusion brand in financial services. It's incredibly important. For a couple of reasons. Number one, it helps to raise awareness. It enables discussions. It's an open forum. It's global now. You know, it started in 2015 in London, and now it's in, you know, nearly 40 countries, over 35,000 participants. Participants actually come from 97 different countries. It's nearly half the globe.
Yeah.
I kind of describe it as the Glastonbury for D&I. It's a It is an incredibly important event and initiative. But like all things, Dive-In has to evolve. Yeah. It has to evolve to tackle some of the data and the issues which we know are in the market. And we made a number of changes to Dive-In this year, but primarily. You know, we don't want Dive-In to just be 3 days during the year and we all have a brilliant conversation and then we go back to our day job. You know, we want Dive-In to become, you know, the talent brand for the Lloyd's market.
Right.
And we've got to start with the talent that's in our own market. And in our culture strategy, we talk about becoming a destination for global talent. Well, Dive-In is one of the best ways to start that. Because we have fantastic global talent. We're not connecting as well as we could do. So this year, after the Dive-In, the main Dive-In festival finishes, we launched Dive-In to Reverse Mentoring.
Right.
Which will connect global talent with leaders across the Lloyd's market for reverse mentoring sessions, which will continue after the festival closes for 6 months. And then in the UK, like I mentioned before, we're piloting Dive-In to Insurance, which is our volunteering and outreach, which will give people opportunities to do things on an individual level or with their companies, which make an impact in changing the perception of insurance. And over time, we will continue to iterate Dive-In so that, you know, there are a couple of really specialist deep dive Dive-In sessions a year. So it is incredibly important, and it's something that's been incredibly successful, and we're looking to evolve over the next couple of years so that it stays extremely relevant for the next 10 years.
Yes. And are you finding sort of appetite for these initiatives just increasing year on year?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is coming to the realization that actually this is about the sustainability of the market in the broadest sense. You know, you can look at engineering, for example, and you can see what happens when you don't have enough skills coming into a particular market. The cost of that labor, the cost of those skills increases. So it is about the sustainability of the Lloyd's market. And then as we move to a world which is far more digital, which is far more complex, where the risks are far more interrelated globally. We can see that every day. We recognize that, and we need talent that reflects that. Because that's how, you know, that's how product innovation happens. And I think that is for the Lloyd's market, why it's existed for 300 years.
Of course.
It's always been able to respond to the needs of a changing society. However, our rate of change has fallen behind the rate of change in society. And so by focusing on our talent, ideas, innovation, and using inclusion as a way to unlock all of that, which is what Diven's theme is about this year, there's no loser in that. And therefore, I think it's a message which resonates with more people. This is a time for the Lloyd's market to expand. We know some of that expansion is global. This is a great time to be thinking about talent and using our inclusion practices to draw in that talent from around the globe.
This is coming back to our theme of pursuing better together, which, you know, has been perhaps a theme running through our conversation. But I wanted to get or to ask on a personal level, what does that concept of pursuing better together mean to you?
Yeah, it's really interesting because when we talk about some of the things that we do kind of market wide, we talk about for the greater good, which is exactly the same, right? Pursuing stuff together. For me, what it enables is faster progress. And it enables collaboration. So it enables companies to say, actually, we recognize we all do better when there's a wider variety of talent available. Our costs get lower if we're talent and succession planning effectively. This inclusion stuff is just good business.
Right.
And I think that really does help a variety of companies, whether it's small, medium, large, understand actually, this is a we win area. You know, I can win as a company or as a team in it, but actually we as a market, we as a sector, actually we begin to do better if we're working together. And therefore pursuing some of these aims in a collaborative way means that progress happens faster. And because of that progress, we all benefit. The people that work in this market, we are responsible. We're the ones that can change the perception of this market. We're the ones that have the power to go and spend an hour volunteering or talking to a young person about a career in this market or this sector and completely change their view of what's available to them and what careers are available to them. We all have the power to demand that, you know, our organizations have inclusive practices. And we all have the power to move between organizations that offer better policies, better practices.
Yes.
So, we all win when we do this well.
I think that's a very positive and a very powerful message to end our conversation on today. A huge thank you from Arch Insurance International for speaking to us today.
Oh, my absolute pleasure, and thanks for the opportunity.